Good morning. We're very much about God and nature at this meeting and this organization, so I thought I would just share some of my personal thoughts in that regard. When I was a boy, I remember singing hymns about all things bright and beautiful and a lot of celebration of God's goodness in nature. And then as a young man, I was exposed to a kind of more guarded perspective, kind of stressing how perhaps with the fall of man, the laws of physics and biology changed, and you know, things are maybe not so good. But then I read books by people like ASA's Dennis Seeley and Dennis Lamoureux that kind of swung me back in the other direction. So I'd like to just read some scripture verses that I think speak to the question of, is God's creation still considered good? So first, some verses from Psalm 104. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night. All the beasts of the fields prowl. The lions roar for prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises, they steal away, they return and lie down to their dens. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. All the creatures look to you to give them food in their proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. So this is a very kind of nuanced picture. God has, in wisdom, established a complex, well-functioning web of being. He's involved in an ongoing way in the provision of food for man and beast, and even for wine that gladdens human hearts. So this is looking like a pretty good world. But I find it interesting that the psalm doesn't shy away from realistically describing the complete circle of life. Although a species may endure for millions of years, any individual creature is going to die and its nutrients will return to the dust. The lions roar and seek their prey from God as part of the natural order, which is not depicted as evil. Turning to the New Testament, we find that Jesus in his parables assumes the natural world is orderly and predictable. If you sow wheat seeds with good soil and rain, you get wheat plants. As we saw in Psalm 104, Jesus presents God as providentially providing food for the birds and sending rain on the just and the unjust. He said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers in the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" So Jesus was not just teaching sweetness and light here. He makes it clear that the grass withers and the birds fall to the ground, so the cycles of life and death are still in effect. But even in death, God is still caring for his creatures. Jesus notes that when those sparrows fall, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. So this shows that God cares about even the smallest workings in the natural world, even death. This theme of the goodness of God and nature shows up in the book of Acts as well. At the city of Lystra, Barnabas and Paul reminded the people how God has shown them kindness by giving them rain and growth for their crops and just general human happiness. They said, "We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy." So however fallen the natural world may be, it's still a good place for people to live in. I'll just share one more verse along these lines. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 4 to counter the teachings of certain ascetics that were saying to abstain from marriage and from eating certain foods. But what Paul writes about these foods is that they are to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And then Paul goes on to state in a very general statement, for everything God created is good, and that nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. So there we have it. God's creation is still good and to be received with thanksgiving. I'd like to just close with a brief prayer of thanksgiving. Would you join me? Lord, thank you for your great goodness to us, for giving us life and a world to function in, and most of all for coming to give us eternal life. We ask your blessing on this whole conference as we seek to hear from you. Amen.